it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's listen to Rob Thompson. He was asked about that and many other elements of the game last night and some look ahead to game four. We don't often play a full press conference from the prior night, but this one was so late and obviously so important when you consider they're in the playoffs in a do-or-die situation. We're going to give you the whole press conference, about 6 minutes here. Listen to Rob Thompson covering a lot of ground last night.
Hi, Rob. Going into eighth, was it your plan to get six outs from Duran? And if so, how big was that offensive outburst in saving him potentially for tomorrow?
Yeah, that's what we were going to do, especially starting at bats, I believe we started in the eighth. Once we had it on, I went to Kirk, and Kirk threw the ball great. So, yeah, it saved Duran for tomorrow.
Fresh up in the middle.
Rob, what was the plan with Nola and Suarez coming in, and how close did they come to executing it exactly what you wanted?
Yeah, they pretty much did exactly what we wanted. We wanted to use those guys to get as close to Duran as we could to save some of the bullpen for tomorrow if we won. Nola was really good. The plan was to go one time through the lineup, and Ranger get his on Otani. Ended at with Edmonds leading off the third, so he's 1-for-20 with 9 strikeouts against Rangers. So he hit the first pitch out of the ballpark. So, they executed perfectly.
Very good, Marcus Sekiro.
How satisfying is it for you as a manager to come into a game that you have to win, literally a must win, and have an unorthodox plan work out pretty much perfectly?
Yeah, it really is. And I give credit to the players for sure. You know, our offense was really good. We swung the bats. We had good at-bats up and down the lineup. The first four guys in the lineup were, 9-for-16? They kept grinding. They kept adding on. We had chances in other innings than the innings that we scored. So they just put pressure on them all night long. And, yeah, Nola, Suarez, Kirkering, even Taiwan threw the ball well. He didn't really give up much exit velo, but they got some hits off him. And then, you know, Banks throws one pitch. So I thought we really played well all around.
Okay, right here in the first row.
Rob, you guys seem to be pretty aggressive with Yamamoto early. Can you talk about that kind of get the guys into the flow at the plate, being able to attack fastballs right away?
Yeah, I think we had good at bats against them for sure, and we got them into some counts where we expected some fastballs, and I think the Schwarber home run just sort of woke everybody up and got a lot of energy going in the dugout.
Okay, Marcus, second row.
Part of your job as a manager is to get guys sort of able to flush what happened earlier, and you guys said you lost four in a row, I think, in the postseason.
Yeah.
And you came out here, and they seem to be, I don't know, focused, refreshed. I don't know. I mean, do you take a degree of satisfaction in that as well?
Well, they're an experienced group of guys, so they've been through this a little bit. And the one thing they did, I think, is they stayed in the moment, stayed relaxed. If you stay in the moment, trust the process, trust your teammates, and not really focus on the result, you have a better chance of getting to the result. And they did that, so I'm happy with them.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you, re-impress that upon them over the last couple of days?
Well, you know, I think they do it inside the clubhouse very well. You know, the veteran guys, they spread the word and one game at a time, and that's kind of our motto today.
Okay, Paul.
Rob, I know you announced it after game two, but when did the NOLA Ranger plan kind of first start to come together, and what, how long ago?
Well, it didn't happen until after game two, because we wanted to figure out where we're at, you know, after that game, and then we sat down and talked about it and tried to figure out, okay, how do we navigate this lineup with using both those guys, and that's sort of what we came up with.
And then the fourth inning there, you guys don't have a hit yet. They just took the lead. How big is that Schwarber home run, and can one swing in a short series like that kind of turn everything around?
Yeah, it could, and we'll see about the rest of the series. But, you know, certainly we had – I thought we had hit some balls hard prior to that too. You know, some balls deep, almost to the wall, to the warning track. So we're on Yamamoto decent, but I did think we had good at-bats. And, you know, yeah, the lineup woke up.
And just one more, Duran, I know you mentioned earlier, Dave Roberts was just in here and said, I would have loved to get him in the game. If he pitched two tonight, what would he have been available for tomorrow?
Well, one, if any.
Okay, I'm going to go back to Marcus quick.
excuse me. There's been a lot of you've taken a lot of criticism the last three seasons, including this one.
I have?
Yes. For some of the decisions you've made, and they haven't worked out. So the way the guys played as well. Have you felt that pressure going into, especially tonight, which was an elimination game, and has it affected you at all?
I don't think so. You know, I think that's part of this job, is that you make decisions, you plan it out. It's not like we're throwing stuff up in the air, but you plan it out. If it doesn't work, then yeah, there's criticism there. That's just part of the gig. It really is.
And finally, the uniforms, are you going to stay in the powder blues forever?
Well, not necessarily, because it's Major League Baseball's decision, depending on the home team's home uniform. Well, based on tonight, I would, but if their home colors are match up with our powder blues, then they won't let us use them.
Who's that? Yeah, right.
The pitch clock violation, what kind of went into that? There was an argument about it, and at the time, that was a pretty big at-bat.
Yeah, huge at-bat. And, I think in that situation, I think you got to have a little bit of leniency, because, you know, Bohm's at first base. He gets an intentional walk. The clock starts right away. Now he's trying to get his glove on, his sliding mitt, and so Marsh is watching him, assuming, you shouldn't assume, but assuming that they're not starting anything until he's ready. But, you know, the time ran out. But I think that there should be a little bit of feel there.
And then the second run you score, it's after Harper goes first to third, the throw gets away. Do you like him rolling the dice there, and what can kind of being aggressive do in a game like this?
Yeah, I think, you know, you have to be aggressive. Sometimes you got to force the issue a little bit. And, you know, he did and caused an error and got us a couple more runs.
Okay, last one, Marcus.
Probably the biggest story of the postseason, despite the Dodgers winning, is that Shohei is, I think, 1-for-14 with 7 strikeouts against you guys. Has the plan sort of worked, or is it a combination of maybe he's not where you expect him to be at this point?
Yeah, I really don't want to comment on that, because, I mean, he can explode at any time. He's that great of a hitter. But, we have pitched him well.
Okay. Thanks, Rob.
All right, that's Rob Thompson. Last night, he deserves major credit for getting it right last night. He really did. Hey, reminder about tonight's game four, because it coincides with the Eagles game, what is it, John? 6. They're 4-1,
yes,
game 6. Yes,
4-1.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.